Welcome to People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Power and Politics. I am your host, Pearl Phillip. Our guest today is Mr. Dan Goldman, who served as lead counsel for the impeachment investigation of former President Donald Trump and is now the Democratic representative for New York 10th Congressional District. Welcome. So good to have you here with us.
Great to be here, Pearl. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. So, congratulations. With no political experience, you prevailed in a crowded field with formidable candidates to emerge as the Democratic Congressional Representative for the 10th District. What made you the candidate of choice in August and will propel you to be the eventual winner in November?
Well, I think that our general message resonated so much with the voters because we are dealing with unprecedented threats to the foundations of our country, to our democracy, and as we've learned even in the last couple of weeks, to our national security by a former president who is seeking to become president again. And as I went around the district talking to the voters, so many realized that we're in a different situation. And not just because of Donald Trump, but because of the fact that he controls so much of the Republican Party, including in the House of Representatives. And because of my unique and specialized experience in having led the impeachment investigation, the voters certainly understood that I was uniquely qualified to deal with the threat that Donald Trump and his Republican Party presents.
Okay, so just share a little bit about who is Dan Goldman besides all that.
Sure. Well, you know, I think one of the things I'm excited to do over the next months and years is introduce myself, who I really am, to the voters of this district. Because in politics, sometimes you get a different picture. But I am a family man. I have five children who I'm raising in this district and have been for the last 15 years in Lower Manhattan. I am a lawyer by training, was a federal prosecutor for 10 years. And in law school, spent a lot of time working on civil rights issues, criminal justice reform. That is why I went to law school, was to engage in public interest and public service. And I have dedicated my career to doing that in various different ways. This is a new step now into elected office, but I'm very excited to be able to use some of the same principles, values, and morals that led me into that career as a lawyer in public service now serving the voters and the constituents of this district.
So, you know, speaking about your district, you will be representing a very diverse, you know, neighborhood regarding demographics, economics, and social issues. What is your vision plan to address the various issues affecting the different constituents?
I think the first thing to do is to understand what those issues are. And you're right, there are different communities, different pockets of the district where people have different concerns. As the member of Congress, the representative for this district in Washington, it is my job, my duty to understand what those issues are that are affecting the communities and how I can use the federal government or the power of the federal government to help the various communities in this district. And there are so many issues that are both federal but also affecting this district. There's a dearth of public housing and affordable housing. We have infrastructure concerns in this district that is really important to address. There are immigration issues that especially affect this district, all of New York City. As you know, 40% of New York City of citizens in New York City are naturalized citizens. So there is there are a number of local issues that need to be addressed, and that I look forward to using sort of new and creative strategies to try to address. And that doesn't include the more national issues that absolutely need to be addressed. And I'm not just talking about democracy, but that is, of course, an important one. But we're talking about the right to choose, climate change, public safety, which is both a local and a national issue, with mass shootings and general gun violence. And so there are so many different issues that will touch upon the district. And I'm really eager to dig in, get to work, and to understand what the voters and the constituents want.
Okay, so let's look at the criminal justice system. In law school, you contributed to Michelle Alexander's seminal book, The New Jim Crow, which addressed the inequalities in our criminal justice system, and not much has changed. As a member of Congress, how do you plan to attack the inequity at the local and federal levels?
There are several different ways that I hope to tackle this issue. One is through federal legislation, which is always more difficult than it should be, especially when you have a Republican Party that is not interested in passing legislation. They're interested in sabotaging legislation so that they can help their special interest and reduce the amount of regulation and legislation. But I do think there are areas, as we saw from the First Step Act, in the criminal justice system where there may be an opportunity for bipartisan agreement. But the other thing that I really want to do is use my experience of 10 years as a federal prosecutor here in New York City, and my relationships that I've had longstanding with the district attorneys and the U.S. attorneys, as well as the federal law enforcement and the NYPD, all of whom I worked very closely with throughout my career, as somebody who can, who understands the criminal justice system from a 360-degree view. I've been a prosecutor. I've been within the system, working within the system, trying to make it more equal and more fair. But I've also spent a lot of time thinking about reform. And I'm really looking forward to engaging with local and state elected officials to help our criminal justice system in New York, both in New York City and in New York State, making it more equitable, reducing incarceration, while also making sure that our streets and subways are safe.
And talking about safety, let's look at gun violence as well. And you mentioned, you know, working with the different local officials. I recently spoke to the Manhattan District Attorney, D.A. Bragg, and Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez, and Attorney General Letitia James. And there's a general and heightened concern, obviously, about gun violence and safety and passing common sense gun legislation. Given that the overwhelming majority of Republicans are gun owners, how do you plan to shake things up in Congress? Because change is long overdue.
Well, first of all, what I think it is a misperception to say that the majority of Republicans are gun owners and therefore they're against gun safety legislation. The fact of the matter is there are very many gun owners who support universal background checks, who do not support access to semi-automatic military weapons. They are gun owners because they are hunters or because they want guns in self-defense. But neither of those reasons warrants anyone bypassing background checks or using, you know, assault weapons. And so we can't fall into the trap of assuming that if you are a gun owner, you're therefore against gun safety, because that is not the case. Mm-hmm. But what has happened is that the elected officials in the Republican Party are so beholden to the gun lobby and the gun manufacturers and gun dealers, that they're actually operating against the interest of their own voters in the majority of the cases. And so what I want to do is use my experience in investigations and oversight to aggressively investigate the gun lobby, the gun manufacturers, the gun dealers, so that we can really understand what they know about how their marketing and advertising is affecting young adults, especially radicalizing them and taking advantage of that marketing to prompt them to buy semi-automatic weapons and commit mass shootings. And I think that if, like the tobacco companies or the opioid companies, where it was discovered that they knew what they were doing was wrong and that they, what the representations they were making were false, if that turns out to be the case with gun manufacturers and gun dealers, then it becomes a lot more difficult for the Republicans in Congress to continue to do their bidding. And so if we put the Republicans in Congress on the heels because the special interests that control them are bad actors, that may change their calculus and bring them to the table.
Okay. So it's back to school time, and we know that New York has the most segregated school system in the country and that the public education system is not equitable. What are your plans to balance the scale? Do you think open enrollment is the answer? Yes or no, and why?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is to make sure that we're increasing Title I funding to ensure that underserved communities are getting the proper education and opportunities that every American deserves. I think that, you know, one of the ways that this needs to be solved in, you know, multiple steps and multiple aspects of it. One is more funding. Two is making sure that, you know, teachers are paid a quality salary. It is baffling to me how little teachers are paid in this country when education is such an important part of it. And I also want to spend a lot of my energy on this topic in two or different areas that kind of surrounds the public education system. One is early childhood education. The data shows that if children 0 to 5, and especially 0 to 3, are given high quality daycare and education and preschool, that their outcomes are exponentially better than people who don't get access to those programs. And it also helps working parents get back to their jobs after childbirth, because if we can have universal daycare as an example, then it keeps them in their full-time jobs without having to take a break. Another area that I want to focus a lot on is vocational education, trade education. There's a high demand for well-paying union jobs in the trades, and whether that's an electrician, a plumber, a barber, you name it. There are any number of different trades that that can help people to very successful, middle-class, productive lives. And we are not emphasizing enough the possibility of providing free vocational training. And then lastly, we need to also provide free community college, that access to that kind of education needs to be available for everyone, because those who go to community college come from many of these same communities that are underserved. And so we need to make sure that that's a possibility for people to pursue, where they don't have to take out student loans that end up weighing them down the road.
Okay, so let's look at immigration. We are a country of immigrants, and New York is a city of immigrants, one of the most diverse. We've seen how the Trump administration has demonized immigrants, and the effects are still being felt today. We see the action of Republican governors across the country, including recently Governor Abbott busing immigrants to, you know, different cities, including New York. Against this backdrop, what is your first order of business to effect real change at the local and federal levels?
Our immigration system is certainly broken, and it has been significantly exacerbated by Donald Trump's draconian and horrific immigration policies. And you use the word demonization, and that is the exact right word to use. And it's unacceptable, and it's one of the reasons why we have to make sure that Donald Trump does not become president again. Our country cannot afford the divisiveness and the hate that flowed from his immigration policies that has increased hate crimes so dramatically in so many communities in this city and around the country. Comprehensive immigration reform is a difficult area to make a lot of progress on because Republicans have very little interest in creating a pathway to citizenship for immigrants because they're predominantly Democrats. But I do think that we should be able to do a couple of things that can address a priority for both parties, which is security at the border. And that is, in the first instance, to double the number of immigration judges to hear asylum claims. What ends up happening is there's such a backlog of asylum claims because there are not enough judges to rule on them that we end up just exacerbating the problem at the border with people waiting for their asylum claims to be adjudicated. So if we increase the number of judges, then we can move that process quickly. And we can make the decision as to whether people should get asylum or not according to the law. And if they don't, they need to go back to their own country. The other thing I strongly support is increasing the number of visas available for immigrants to come to this country. As you point out, we're a country of immigrants. My grandmother escaped anti-Semitism in Russia and came to the United States. And her brother worked around the clock at a grocery store, general store, to put his siblings through college. And that's what people want to do when they come here. And certainly when they come here legally. And that's what makes this country so vibrant, so diverse, so dynamic, and so successful. And so we need to be encouraging more people to come here legally, which will also reduce the number of people who try to come here illegally. And so they all work together, or both sides of that work together.
Okay, so healthcare. America is the wealthiest country in the world. However, healthcare is not accessible and affordable. And we saw how healthcare inequalities impacted communities of color disproportionately during the COVID-19 pandemic. As a new member of Congress, what are your ideas to level the field?
Well, our first priority has got to be to get access to healthcare access to more Americans. As you point out, we're the wealthiest country in the world, and it is an absolute travesty that every American does not have access to high-quality healthcare. It is my belief that healthcare is a fundamental right, and every American should have access to high-quality and free healthcare. And that is what our focus needs to be on, is reducing the cost of healthcare while also giving access to more people. I think that the Inflation Reduction Act and the ability of Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices is a great step in reducing many of the high costs of our healthcare system, but it is not enough. And so I will work very, very aggressively and very hard to expand our healthcare system to those who don't have it or don't have high quality healthcare.
So, Mr. Goldman, you have elections coming up in November. How can one support your campaign?
Well, the first thing to do is go to dangoldman4ny.com. That is our website. You'll see all of our policy platform on there. You'll see ways to volunteer and, of course, ways to donate as well. And we're excited about the fall, excited about going into the general election. Obviously, it's a disproportionately Democratic district, so we're optimistic about our chances. But I'm going to be spending a tremendous amount of time getting around the district and meeting as many people as I can. As you mentioned, I'm a first-time politician, and so I have a lot of community leaders and elected officials and activists and voters to meet. And we've already started doing that, and I look forward to doing a lot more of it.
Okay, so you're Congress bond, you're Washington bond. What are you most excited about?
Well, I think two things. I'm not very excited about having to defend democracy, to be honest. That is unfortunately something that we are going to have to do, and it's certainly something that I'm going to try to be at the forefront of, but I wouldn't say I'm excited about that. What I am most excited about is using some of the different and creative strategies that we used during the impeachment investigation that enabled us to prove the case against Donald Trump, against his obstruction. And I'm excited to try to apply some of those techniques. And we talked about one of them, about gun manufacturers and gun dealers. But to see if we can use a different playbook, a different strategy to actually achieve some real results for not only the constituents of this district, but New York City, New York State, and around the country. And, you know, perhaps I'm an idealist, but I do feel like there's a pathway to achieving results even with a bad faith Republican Party that is not interested in cooperating.
All right. So we wish you the very best. We look forward to having you back again.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to returning.
You're very welcome. Looking forward.
People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.